it is good to see everyone here today. We are in our series of 16 weeks through prayer, and where we are saying prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Now, I need to correct that, really. We know that God changes things through prayer, but prayer changes things is potential. Praying changes things. Do you know we can do a whole series in 16 weeks emphasis on prayer and talk about prayer, but if we never pray, nothing's going to change? Amen. See, it's the application of that. It's the praying that we have got to do. And so as we kind of reflect back on and go through what we're doing, we have these prayer journals for you. They're out there. You can grab one as you leave. We will be on page 10 today. We have looked through these truths about prayer. We've examined the character and the content of prayer, that our prayer of a humble heart, that we come to God in secret, and the God who sees us in secret will reward us. We shut ourselves into the prayer closet, and our character is one where we humble ourselves before a holy God, and the content of our prayer is one that we seek God's glory and purpose and will for our life. We've looked at praying with a heavy heart. That as Hannah went in and was praying for a son, and God heard her prayer, and she was praying with such passion that her lips were moving, but she was not saying any words, but God heard her mind as she prayed. Now, as we're going through this, right, I was preaching that sermon, praying with a heavy heart. Little did I know that afternoon my daughter was playing in a basketball game, and she tore her ACL. And so that whole next week, as we were focusing on, the focus for that week was praying with a heavy heart. And there she tore ACL. So I had much to pray about that week with a heavy heart. And so there's times in our life when there's burdens that come on us, and we just, what do? We go to the Lord in prayer, and we just cry out to God, and God hears us. And then we talked about when we pray, our Father, we pray to the one true God, amen? When we pray to the one true God. We don't pray to a false ideology. We don't just pray to a concept or idea or to some energy force in the sky. We pray to the one true God, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. And Pastor John talked about standing. We don't just stand for something, and we just don't stand for someone, but we are to stand in awe of the one true God who is our Father in heaven, and holy is his name. And today we come to the phrase, your will be done. Not my, your kingdom come, your will be done. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem, and the people were sacrificing in at high places. However, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Now, it's about Solomon. Solomon, he loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourselves understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you in all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all of his servants. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. God, that we would seek you, that our purpose and our direction in life would be one where we would seek your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives. So, Lord, we ask for your wisdom. And Lord, if there's someone here today that they've never placed their faith in you, they've never trusted in you, they've never tasted the honey or drank from the water or ate the manna that Jesus offers, that today you would speak to them and they would call upon you. So Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I was reading this, we kind of know this story of when Solomon's asked, you know, God comes to him in a dream and says, you know, what do you want? You know, whatever. You know, it kind of brings up some images in our mind when we were kids. And you'd play the game, if you could have three wishes, you know, what would that be? Anybody all ever did that? Nobody? Just me? None of you all ever played that game? How many of y'all played that game as a kid when you asked, if you had three wishes, what would you do? And the first one's usually what? Y'all, you can sit there and act like you don't hear a thing, if that's fine, or you can participate and we can enjoy this. Money, that's number one. You know, it's like, I want all kinds of money. Number two might be what?
A dirt bike.
A dirt bike, yeah, if you're a kid, it might be a dirt bike. And then the third wish is what? Three more wishes. You know, three more wishes. Three more. And I was like, you know, God, you know, I prayed for a heavy heart. And then my daughter tore ACL. So this week, this could be exciting. Because God answered his prayer for wisdom. And then Solomon became the richest person in the world. So, woo, I can't wait for this week to see what God's going to do. That's a joke. When we pray, when we ask, you know, God, you know, that's a big question. Like, what would you want, you know? And God rewards his response by giving him more than what he even asked for, because his perspective about what he was seeking for his life was on point. Now, in these journals, as you read through the journals, I hope you're doing them and reading through them and reading the supporting passages, because one of the strategies and what I was hoping to do through this is we've read through the New Testament together as a church, right? We went through that 16 weeks through the New Testament. Now we're looking at different types of prayers and examples of prayers of people seeing and experiencing God in the Old Testament, and then trying to see how we connect that with what we've read in the New Testament, because when I see Solomon putting first the kingdom of God, and then the things that he didn't ask for, but that he sure could use and need, then followed that, it reminds me of someone. It reminds me of the Lord who, when he was talking to his disciples, he reminded them, hey, why are you worrying about everything? Why are you stressed out about life? Why are you so concerned? Look at the lilies of the field, he said. Well, I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory wasn't clothed as fine as they were. Notice the birds in the air. The Father feeds them. You're more important than them. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. That's what the Gentiles worry about. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things will be added unto you. That comes after his teaching of the Lord's of this Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that he says, our Father who art in heaven, we pray to the one true God. Holy is your name. We stand in awe of his holiness, of his righteousness, of his power, of his sovereignty. He has all authority. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Let's begin there. Before we ask anything, before we begin making our petitions, let's begin with submitting to the will of God over our life. Now, Solomon, his father had died, his king, King David, and the throne is now transferred over to Solomon. And I want us to notice, let's talk about Solomon just for a moment, and then we'll talk about ourselves. We'll apply it to our own lives. But notice some things about Solomon here when he was transitioning into this new phase of his life in verse 7. If we go to verse 7, he says, and now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. We notice here, number one, that he's humbled by his own dependence on God. I think that's very important. He was humbled by his own dependence and need for God. Now, he wasn't a little child. He was at least 20 or a little older. But when he refers to himself as a child and not knowing how to come in and how to go out, he is acknowledging before God his complete dependence on him. I am about to enter into a position that I don't really know how to navigate. I'm like a child in this. I'm going to need you. That's a great prayer to pray, is it not? This is Solomon. He's recognizing, first off, he's humbling himself before God, saying, I'm going to need direction from you. I'm going to need your hand to hold me. I'm going to need your hand to guide me. I need you, God. Then verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. So he looks at that and he's overwhelmed by his duty. See, he was humbled by his dependence on God. And then when he looks at the assignment that he has, he's going to be king over the nation of Israel. He is overwhelmed by his duty. The thought of navigating this nation and being the king, the one that is there to protect the people of God and to steer the people of God in the ways of God. it gets overwhelming. I mean, think about that. If you were asked to be the king over a nation, that's a pretty heavy burden, isn't it? It's a lot of responsibility. And so he's overwhelmed by this duty, and he says, I've got a vast group of people that I've got to lead and I'm in charge of and I'm responsible for. And so what does he do? Verse 9, he says, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? He prayed for God's discernment. He was humbled by his dependence on God. I need you. He was overwhelmed by his duty. He's leading the nation. And so he prays for God's discernment. He needs the wisdom of God. Now, in your Bible there, you may have different translations. It says an understanding mind. Some of your translations might say an understanding heart. This morning, I've kind of titled the message this, a hearing heart. The phrase there, then, to interpret that, it's somewhat complicated, because what Solomon is praying for, he's praying for a listening mind, a hearing heart, the inner man in us, our soul, our spirit, our being that makes us who we are. He says, I need a hearing heart, God. I need to be able to hear from you. I need to be able to hear your voice. I need to know your direction, your plan. I need my heart to be in tune with you. I need my spirit to walk with you. I need a discerning and hearing heart. I'm gonna be leading a nation and judging a nation and overseeing a nation, and I've got to be able to hear from you. I've got to know the difference between good and evil. And we think, well, that should be obvious, good and evil, but isn't it just like Satan that the Bible says disguises himself as an angel of light? And sometimes what gets presented to you as being good is not necessarily good. There's a lot of temptations and appetites that Satan will put on the plate to make it look appealing. And make it look, oh, tasty and savory. You want this. You need this. This is how you should go. When it may be a trap. And so Solomon, he's like, I want to make sure that your kingdom and your purpose and your will is accomplished through my reign. That is a great place to start and to live, amen? To begin to think, okay, how am I going to do that? And then in verse 14, we jump down to verse 14. And then the Lord says, I'm going to answer this. And then he says, and if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. If you walk in my decrees, God says, then there's going to be a blessing that follows you. Okay. How many of you all believe that God's word knows best for your life? And that if we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and if in all of our ways we acknowledge him, he will make straight our paths. Believe that? And so when we read from God's word, oh, David referred to it. Well, you read it this week, or you should have. It was in your journal. His word is like honey from the rock. His word is a delight. His statutes are good. The commands of God aren't to shackle us, but it's to allow us to live a life of holiness, righteousness, and godliness that is a pure joy and a blessing. The Bible says we're to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be drunk with the Holy Spirit. There ain't nobody going to pull you over being drunk with the Holy Spirit. Now, there might be some cops pull you over by drinking some other type of spirits, but not the Holy Spirit. So you never have to worry when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, when you're full of God, when you're letting God direct your life. When God directs your steps, even if you go through a storm, the power of God is with you always. And so we've got to understand this. The kingdom rule of God, the kingdom of God, his will to be accomplished in our life, that needs to be our prayer. Okay? That's what Solomon did before he was asked to rule a nation. He asked, Lord, give me a hearing heart. Let me hear your voice. Let me be guided by your truth. Let your kingdom be my focus of living. May I do what you want me to do. That's a good thing to focus on this week, isn't it? Should be put in a journal or something to help me remember. Focus for God's kingdom rule, for his will to be lived out in our life. This week, what am I focusing on? God, give me a hearing heart. Let's just pray that out loud together as a church, would we? Just say, God, give me a hearing heart. Lord, we want to hear from you. Right? That's our prayer. That's our focus. That's what we seek this week. Give me a hearing heart. Get along in your prayer closet. Shut the door. Spend some time. You'll be surprised. You may be in there an hour. You may be praying for 2 hours, just hearing from heaven, hearing from God, saying, God, I need to hear you. I'm struggling, maybe. I got a decision to be made. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. There's things going on. Lord, I need to hear from you. Give me a hearing heart to hear you so that I will walk in your kingdom rule of what you want for my life. Let's put down our phone for a while. Let's close out some apps for a while and let's hear from him. We hear from everybody else, and we got all this noise going into our mind. Shut it out and say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from heaven. I want a hearing heart. God, let me hear from you. So here's what we got to do. Now, we are not going to be asked to rule over the nation of Israel or any other nation, right? So we don't have the task of Solomon that we're going to be a ruler or a king or a queen over a nation, right? I ain't trying to squelch anyone's dreams here today, but I'm just saying nobody's going to be a king over a nation here in this room. But I tell you what, now, as hard as that is to think about ruling over a nation, how many of you all have a hard enough time governing your own mind? How many of you all have a hard enough time governing over your own thoughts, your actions, your attitudes, your behaviors? Isn't just knowing how to rule your own person a tough enough job? Isn't it enough to cause us to be humble about our dependence on God, to know, God, today I need to have a hearing heart so that my mouth will be ruled by your kingdom. That my eyes will be ruled by your kingdom. That my ears will be hearing for your purpose for my life. That my thumbs or my whatever I swipe and post and do things with will be governed by hearing from, by having a hearing heart. Right? Because guess what? We are a nation. Watch this. Look at Exodus 19, verse 6. In Exodus verse chapter 19, verse 6, this is God speaking to the people of Israel. This was the purpose and plan of the nation. He says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So he marks Israel off as his chosen people, as a treasured possession to be a holy nation before the people, right? Anticipating, looking forward, Scripture says everything written in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, was written as an example for us, as our example. The pointing of the Messiah that was coming, that Jesus, that he would come, that he would come and set up his rule and reign, okay? The kingdom of God that would come. So now listen to what 1 Peter, so as Christians, what did Jesus do when he came? What was his message? Read through the New Testament, we did it, all through the Gospels, and Jesus came and he preached the kingdom of the gospel, the kingdom. He preached the kingdom, that the kingdom was here, the kingdom was in their midst, that the kingdom was going to be. 1 Peter says this, "You yourselves," now he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the church, he says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We jump down to verse 9 and it says this, "But you," again, he's talking to the church, he's talking to believers, he's talking to born-again believers. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy," what? "Nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Who did he call a nation? His people. You. Watch this. All right, Revelation 1:5. This is a revelation of Jesus. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a what? It's up there, isn't it? No? Revelation? No, I'll go into verse 6. Verse 6. And made us a what? A kingdom, priest to his God and fathered him, be glory forever, amen, made us a what? A kingdom. Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." So the blood of Jesus, when he was on the cross, he died to redeem for himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. What for? What's he done? Verse 10, and you have made them a what? A kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. There is a reality that we are, that the kingdom of God is here, but yet not fully. That there's coming a day when Jesus comes and rules and reigns. But right now, the kingdom of God rules and reigns through the hearts of his people who he has made a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has sealed us, he has claimed us, he has marked us as his own prized possession. And the goal of the believer is the Holy Spirit of God now rules and reigns over our life so that we would accomplish the purpose of God that he has for us. So that when we pray, it's not Grant's will to be done, it is for God's will to be done. And so when I seek the Lord and I'm thinking, Lord, for my life, Lord, what do I want for my life? What would I have if I had three questions? And I've had three things. God said, I'll give you three things, whatever you want. The first one should be, I want your kingdom rule and your reign and your will to be accomplished in my life. I want to submit to you. I want to follow you. I want a hearing heart so that I can hear your voice guide me and lead me all through life, because I need a hearing heart to be a dad. Now, just think about, man, sometimes you get overwhelmed by your duty, don't you? The duties that you have in life, the responsibilities you have in life, and the older you get, the more hats and responsibilities you start wearing, right? You can be a husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. If you live long enough, now you've got multiple things that you're responsible for. And boy, that can overwhelm you. You know, just being the husband that you're supposed to be, to love your wife like Christ loved the church, to be there for her and to be that husband, I need a hearing heart. Because if we're not careful, we won't behave properly as we should. To be a wife, you need a hearing heart. Lord, I need a hearing heart so that I can love my husband the way I'm supposed to love him and honor him. To raise your kids. Parents, how many of y'all know that, that you need the will of God over your life to do that properly? To raise your kids to know who Jesus is, to love him, to follow him, knowing all of the obstacles that they face, knowing all of the landmines that are out there before them that they could step on. And you're praying, and you need wisdom and discernment. You need to help them, guide them, steer them. And then as they get older, it's even more challenges, right? I've realized that now, right? And I'm about to realize it even further, right? I mean, when they're 7, it's pretty easy. You're with me. You know, and you have a kind of a lock on them, you know, when they're little, and the older they get, then the more freedom they have, and the more responsibility they have, and the more dangers that there are. And so, God, I need a hearing heart to help me to be the parent that I'm supposed to be. What about your job? Does your job ever overwhelm you? Do you ever just get like overwhelmed by your responsibilities there at your work? You know, like, and maybe you have a job where you've got multiple things going on at one time, or you've got a boss that's really on, and you know, what? How do I handle this? What do I need to do? How do I get through? Lord, I need a hearing heart. I need you. I'm like a child. I don't know how to navigate this. I'm overwhelmed by all this stuff that I've got. So what do I need to pray for? Your will to be done in my life. I need a hearing heart to hear your will for my life in this situation. I want you to shine through me. I want you to move through me. I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want my job to honor you. I want to be a blessing everywhere I go. So when you go to work, you're praying for a hearing heart when you're at work. God, there's maybe someone that I need to pray for. There's people watching my life, and they know that I'm a Christian, and I want to live a good example. So walking with the focus of God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I tell you what, if we all would just meditate on that thought throughout the week, I need a hearing heart. God, give me a hearing heart. Let me hear from you. Give me discernment. Give me your wisdom. I need to hear from you. I bet our week we would be seeing God moving a little bit more. What do you think? Maybe. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. I need you. Why? Because here's the thing. We read the story that came up on our news feed of the tragedy in Texas. And we get overwhelmed and you get burdened and think, man, what I can't imagine what it would have been like if I was a teacher in that school, in that classroom, or the students, or the parent of one of the teachers and the students. And, you know, it breaks your heart to think that could happen. And we can read story after story and news after news of tragedy, of wickedness, of evil. We think, how in the world could that stuff happen? How could that happen? It's a reminder that this world is completely broken. That after Genesis 3, everything is distorted. There is an enemy. There is Satan, who is a roaring lion who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is seeking whomever he can devour. Parents, that means your kids. It means your spouse. It means you. It means our community. It means this nation. However he can put his claws into lives to ruin them, he will. And we think about all of this stuff and all of this, you know, how do we make change? How do we do things different? What are we going to do to fix this nation? And it seems so overwhelming because it seems like there's so many systems that are broken within our politicians and all of it. Just, it's all. How many of y'all agree? It just seems like, oh, it's all messed up. I mean, at the gas pump you go, and every time you get gas, it's just another realization that it's broken. Things are broken. And we get overwhelmed. How do we fix it? Well, we're not going to be able to fix all the world's problems. But I tell you, one heart that we can start working on first, that's this one right here. I can. You can begin to focus on your heart. That's why the gospel really is the answer to the world. Because laws, written laws, will never change a human heart. But the Spirit of God changes hearts. That's why it's so important that we as a church, that we as believers submit ourselves to the will of God. Because it's very easy for us to point fingers and look at all of the bad that's going on in the world and overlook some of the wickedness that's going on in our own mind and in our own heart. Is that amen or oh me? Truth. God, whatever wickedness is in me, get it out. You know, Solomon he was always, even though he was not a warring king, David was a warring king, Solomon was not. But there was always potential for war at any moment with another nation. And David went to battle many times And he had to battle nation after nation after nation. We don't war against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the spiritual powers of this air. In your own heart, in my heart, I am a kingdom. The kingdom of God lives in me through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom I have been saved by the grace of God. And so the gospel transferred me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light. Are you with me? Say amen. So now I'm in a new kingdom. I am in the kingdom of God. And so in the kingdom of God, there is one king who gets to sit on that throne. And guess who that is? Jesus. Now, as I live my life, I can quench the Holy Spirit, correct? Paul says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Why did he say, do not quench the Holy Spirit? Because you can quench the Holy Spirit. So he said, don't do it. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? By living in opposition to God's purpose and plan for your life. And so in our prayer time, you know one thing we need to do when we pray? We need to go to war. You need to go to battle in your prayer room. And you need to begin praying, God, kill everything in me that is not of you. God, whatever sin might be holding on to me, break it. Whatever wrong attitudes, thoughts, actions, whatever mindset that I have that is contrary to your will and purpose and plan, kill it, break it, get it out of my life, God. I want to set my mind on things above. I want to put my mind in heavenly places because I know you and your plan is the plan that is honey in the rock, that is water from the stone, that's manna from the ground. Everywhere I go, because God is leading and guiding. I want his rule. I want to hear from him. I want a hearing heart. Lord, give me a hearing heart. I need you, Jesus. I need you to rule in my life. I need your kingdom to come. I need it for all of my life. What would happen when we begin to focus throughout the day? Lord, give me a hearing heart. I want to hear you. I want your will to be accomplished in my life. I, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm going through, God, your purpose. Your purpose, would you use me with the limited time that I have on this earth? Use me. Because what I have realized is that the kingdom of God is worth more than anything that this world has to offer. And when you get his kingdom, you get everything. And so the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, it's like a man who found treasure in a field. And it was worth so much, and it had so much value that he went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy that field. Because he knew that what was in that field was greater than all that he had. Oh, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who finds a pearl of great value. And he goes and sells all that he has just to have that one pearl. Why? Because what Jesus offers through salvation and life in him and through him is the greatest life you will ever live. That's not a promise that you will never have problems or pain. But it is a promise that the one true God who we stand in awe of, and when we cry our heavy heart to, his will gets accomplished in our life. He does glorious things. Now, what do we do today? Christian, I'm going to ask you to pray and focus this week. Give me a hearing heart. We're going to have a time of altar. We're going to have a time of where we can come and pray. Guess what? That's for you too. It's for us to pray. Maybe this prayer this morning is this. I don't know what you've got going on in your life. I don't know if you've got decisions coming up. I don't know if you have burdens on your heart. I don't know if you're just kind of in a lull. I don't know if everything's great. And you just want to keep in tune with what God wants you to do. But it's open for you to come and pray and say, Lord, today I want to have a hearing heart. And today I want you to start working in me. Start working in me. Start in my heart. Start here. Start with me. I want your rule to be reigning in my life. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord, and you would like to begin the greatest journey of life and give you a hope for heaven for all eternity, then we'd like to pray with you about that too. We'd like to pray with you to help you know how you can have a relationship with the Lord. So this morning, as we worship, as we sing, as we celebrate, let us respond in prayer. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, today, your Spirit speak, move. I hope we all long for a hearing heart, one that longs to hear your voice, your guidance. Lord, there is so much around us that we don't understand, and there's so much even in our own hearts sometimes that we are confused and we are even torn. And so we ask for your wisdom, for your voice, for your guidance. And may we love you all the days of our lives and walk in your ways. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.